Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game and every bet for real sports fans. Sean Doolittle has been given some thoughts on Twitter the last few days as baseball's been reacting to the allegations against the Houston Astros stealing signs with technology. Everybody steals signs as best you can from second base or with your eyeballs. It just seems like it's cheating it's when different. You do it with video. And that's something that Doolittle brought up on his Twitter account. First of all, Sean, we have not talked to you since you became a World Series champion. Thank you.
Hey, buddy.
And thank the Nationals for the wonderful last several months.
Oh, my gosh. It's been our pleasure. But seeing everybody at the parade and in the days that followed once we got back from Houston, seeing what it meant to the fans and to the city, It made it, you know, even that much more special for us. So it's still sinking in for a lot of us, to be quite honest. Man, it's just really cool.
I saw Danny dance and drink a beer. That's how crazy the whole parade situation was.
Oh man, well it was. You know, hopefully it was worth the wait, and people had fun. We had so much fun. Oh my gosh, even just looking back on it, there's still plenty of times when, my wife and I will just be sitting around and being like, you know, remember when we won the World Series? Just because like I've been in the league for 8 years and I'd never been past the first round of the playoffs. And until you've been there, the World Series is kind of this abstract idea. It's this thing you're shooting for, but it feels really far away. And to have a championship is to be a part of that is just so cool.
Sean Doolittle with us here on Grant and Danny. I've got some Mandalorian questions. We'll try to squeeze in at the end, but I got to know just one other thing for you, dude. People are asking me as a fat idiot who's accomplished nothing, had nothing to do with you guys winning the World Series, but they ask me if I've like come down off the high yet. I can't imagine if I was you and I won the World Series and your wife's like, can you take out the trash? And it's like, I'm sorry, I won the World Series. Why don't you do that? Or why don't we hire some? Let's get a peasant boy to come in and do that for us. Like, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I would be so annoying.
Trash boy over here.
Trash peasant. Boy. Take my leavings. Like, how do you just go back to do normal things? Like, do you go to the grocery store? How do you just be normal again?
Yeah, I mean, well, you're in line at the grocery store checkout and, you know, they ask you if you have like a phone number or something, you know, to use for like the discounts. And you're like, oh, well, I don't. But do you have any discounts for maybe like somebody that was on the World Series winning Washington Nationals?
We can get to the 2-for-1. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can get, maybe I can go back and get another one and it's buy one, get one. But no, it absolutely hasn't sunk in yet. And I'm still, so you are still on that high, you know, and it's like, part of it is like, man, like, I can't believe we just did that. And then you look back and you're just really grateful to be a part of that group that did that. It's kind of tough to put into words because it's still kind of coming into perspective. It's still kind of coming into focus, I think. But like I said, the biggest feeling is just like, you know, we're just gratitude and appreciation for everything that this team was able to accomplish.
Sean Doolittle on Grant and Danny. He was with us all season long and kind enough to hop on with us for a little debrief here today. Now, the reason actually it hit you up last night, though, was I really got a lot out of your comments and your candor about what the Astros are doing and some of the evidence coming out against them now. So why don't we just start with, going into that series, what were you guys hearing? Was it a point of conversation where you talked about that belief that they did this? And then what types of things were you guys doing to try to combat it as pitchers?
Well, I think going into that series, And again, I mentioned this in one of my tweets, just that there had been suspicious activity. There'd been strong suspicion of this kind of stuff in some stadiums around the league over the past few years. So we went in, we had our guard up. We didn't have any evidence of any of these allegations at the time. We didn't know what to look for. We didn't have any specifics, but we definitely had our guard up. So we went with the method that you've seen some other teams around the league use, where the catcher and the pitcher have an index card that's laminated with several series of signs that you can use. The pitcher tucks it into his hat, and the catcher is wearing a kind of a wristband like a quarterback. And that way you can go through, you have options. You can constantly mix up your signs. Even when there was nobody on base, we were going through sequences of signs. Typically you just put down, whichever pitch you want. If there's nobody on base, you don't go through the whole sequence, but we also were watching each other. There were guys in the dugout, our dugout, that were watching our own guys, just to make sure that they weren't giving anything away based on how they came set, or they weren't doing anything different with their wind up or their mechanics that might have been a tell as to what pitch they were throwing. So we were trying to help each other out in that aspect too, but I don't know. There was just a lot of stuff that we were trying to do to just maybe stay ahead of it, but also just, you know, not be predictable and disguise our game plan as best we could.
What I think's that much more amazing about it is, in addition to this, whatever this is, real versus perceived, the Astros are great. Right? I mean, like, Jose Altuve hits line drives off everybody. So does George Springer. So does Bregman. I mean, all these guys are mash machines. And so I that extra layer of doubt, like, they're already good. They may have, maybe have that advantage. How did you guys counter that mentally? I think that's an underrated part of this entire thing, knowing that this shadow, sometimes the threat is actually bigger than the actual action. How did you guys counter that and still deal as you guys did in their ballpark?
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I think that's part of the frustration with these allegations, is that, like, oh my gosh, like, this lineup is absolutely stacked as it is, 1 through 9. These guys are really good, and they might be getting help. And I think that's some of the frustration that's there. But our guys, our pitchers did a really good job of kind of putting those thoughts in a proper place in their mind, and just being able to, I don't want to say like look past it, because it was definitely something that some guys were thinking about. But when they crossed that line, all they were thinking about was executing the pitch. Cause they were like, look, we can mix up our signs. Guys were mixing up signs when there was nobody on base. They were switching to different sets of the signs multiple times throughout an inning. So I think we were able to do those things that put your mind at ease enough that you were able to kind of block that out and just focus on playing baseball. So, and that was a lot of the stuff that we had worked on in that break that we had between the NLCS and the World Series. Was talking with the catchers, talking with Jan and Zouk about different sets of signs that we could use and how we could mix it up from and stay or keep from becoming too predictable.
Sean Doolittle on The Fan. All right, so two-parter here, related. One, how didn't pitchers, guys, pick up on this before? Marcus Stroman tweeted yesterday a video of the trash can banging, and he's just getting tattooed in a start against the Astros. And he's like, this is so crazy. And like, no one at no point noticed, but when we watch these videos, it seems pretty obvious. It's not like it's that well hidden. And then the second thing would be, how many teams do you think are doing something like this? I know it's something you commented on Twitter. Everyone's trying to get an edge. Everyone's cutting the corners and stealing signs, quote-unquote, within the rules. Like, how many teams do you think are being shady about this?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how many are being shady about it, but I think the hope is here that with this instance, as we continue to, you know, have some evidence and you know, MLB's launched an investigation, that they can find out, you know, maybe how it came about, what more of the specifics were. And then we can put measures in place that are going to dissuade teams from doing it, or maybe they'll make it impossible, you know, for teams to be able to relay stuff like this in real time. Starting in 2019, they put MLB put an employee in the video room of all the stadiums in both the home and visiting clubhouses. And they put the TVs on a pretty substantial delay. So they're starting to take measures, but it sounds like we're going to have to keep looking at those to see if there's anything else that we can do. Because the general consensus amongst guys in the league is that, like, if you can pick up my signs with your eyeballs, if a guy on second can decipher them, if I'm doing something with my set position after I get my signs on the mound, and that's fair game. That's gamesmanship. That's part of the game. And that's stuff that we work on in spring training and throughout the year to disguise so that teams can't pick it up. But once you're talking about maybe using a video feed that only one team has access to, or, different technologies to relay signs, that's a whole different ballgame. And as far as when you're out there, when you're pitching, a lot of the noises, just in and around the stadium, when you're so focused on executing the pitch, and there's a lot on the line, and the sounds just kind of become not muted, but like dulled. So, like, if you don't have a really good idea of what to listen for or what to key in on, I mean, it just kind of blends into the background, to be honest. And I don't think that any of these guys, you know, like Stroman tweeted the video, I don't think that anybody that he could have heard that unless he knew exactly what he was listening for and when to listen for it. But it comes after the catcher gives his sign, and right as the pitcher is kind of starting his windup. So that's a time when, as a pitcher, you're so focused on delivering the pitch and executing what the catcher just put down that, like, I mean, there's a really good chance that you don't hear that. I don't think anybody, all your focus is on the catcher. So, I don't know.
Sean, yesterday when Grant and I were kicking this around, we said this penalty needs to be among the harshest, if not the harshest, ever handed out. There's a difference to me between a guy behind the scenes popping a hormone to make himself better versus this systemic, team-wide video-type cheating. I think this needs to be one of the harshest penalties ever levied. Commissioner Doolittle, what do you think the punishment should be?
I honestly don't know, because I'm really hesitant about that, about offering a suggestion on the punishment, because so far, like, you know, all I have are some internet videos and some stuff from Twitter to go off of. And it doesn't look good right now. I kind of want to stay out of the process of the punishment. I want to focus on, I hope people do have to answer some questions, and I hope people are held accountable. But for me, and I think for players around the league, we want to see MLB figure out what might have been going on and then implement ways that we can keep this from ever happening again. Whether the punishment is part of that process, or they start, I really don't know. They sweep the stadium so that there's no hidden cameras anywhere or something like that. But just so that no team could ever, you know, use technology to relay back to the hitters in real time.
Dude, we only got about a minute left. It was great insight and good info from you on that. But I guess I'll leave you with this. Have you fired off a text yet to Strauss or to Rendon and sent up, you know, maybe a picture of your favorite band and say, I like this band when they're together? Anything like that? The music is beautiful.
I haven't yet, but I guess the hot stove is starting to heat up. So we'll see if, you know, we kind of had a team of photographers that were following us around and in the World Series and in the days that followed. So maybe I'll dig up some good ones and try to send them to them and just
some nice,
you know, hopefully.
Music.
Yeah, we don't have to. We can, you know, I'll pull out all the stops. We're not too proud. We'd really love both of those guys to be back. And, you know, so they were such a big part of everything we did. And, man, it'd be fun. It's fun to think about what next year could be like with both of those guys back.
Congrats again. Thank you for everything, not only with the postseason run, but hanging out with us all season long, man. It was a real treat, and appreciate your insight today, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, be
Thank
well.
You, Sean.
One of the best. There's Sean Doolittle, a World Series champion on Grant and Danny. Michael Lombardi joins us on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Talk about some of the best NFL games of the weekend with him next, right here on G&D. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Michael Lombardi is one of our favorite NFL guests we have on regularly, and he is with us. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Insider calls brought to you, as always, by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. Michael, thanks much for the time. Let's start with Myles Garrett's suspension, indefinite. What does that mean, do you think, beyond this season?
You know, I think he's going to get suspended even further into next year. I mean, you know, that was really poor behavior. I actually think that the league did the right thing. They did it in a timely fashion, and they fined the clubs, which ultimately the Browns are responsible for, as the Steelers are. And I wrote about it today for The Athletic. I mean, Jimmy Haslam, you know, John Dorsey, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, I mean, he has a collection of characters. He does not have a team of character. And so, you know, there's always somebody there, whether it's Kareem Hunt, whether it's, you know, Antonio Callaway, who they put up with forever. Why, I don't know, but they did, you know, and they finally released him only because he was going to get suspended for 10 games, not because they made a conscious decision. I mean, so when you wonder why teams don't win, you don't have to look very far. Great teams play together. They have mental toughness. And what we saw last night was one team particularly that had no mental toughness.
Well, how much do you put on Freddie Kitchens here, Michael? You've seen a couple of these things. I don't want to say not like that last night, but a couple incidents this year. I think of the first week there was a kicked player and an ejection and some of the, you know, the goings-on with Odell Beckham's watch and whatever. It seems like there's not a lot of discipline in that organization. How much is on the coach?
Well, you know, I worked for Al Davis for 10 years, right? And so Al Davis, John Dorsey is the modern-day Al Davis. He doesn't care about what the players do. He only cares about talent. And as a coach, it's really hard. If you can't fire a player, if you can't hold them accountable and say, get out of here, you're not playing, you have no rules. You have no leadership. You can't function as an organization. When the president or the owner of the team and the president of the team are making all the decisions like a team down the street from you, the coach is insignificant. They've rendered the coach insignificant by their power base. It's the same thing in Cleveland. Dorsey runs the team. They can't cut Callaway. Callaway's terrible. He had one of the worst play. I had a coach in the NFL call me up and say, did you see the Callaway reverse play? It was hilarious. He runs the reverse the wrong way into Beckham, who's running the reverse. And so he screws up that play against the 49ers. And then, of course, naturally, the next play, they throw it to him in the end zone, and he drops an interception coming back the other way. Like, this is who you want to become? This is who you are as a football team? Like, and the fans are sitting there saying, the coach thinks, no, if the coach can't fire you, how can you blame the coach?
You mentioned the Redskins. We haven't had you on since Trent Williams came back to the team. They decided they weren't going to trade him. They didn't want to until apparently the day of the deadline, and then they decided they would try. It's too late. So now he's on the NFI list. They're going to try to get the ability to toll a year. It's not going to work. He's probably going to be a free agent very likely after next season now. But they didn't trade him. They didn't get anything back for the asset. And he's in their locker room 20 feet from the training tables, crushing their training staff. Even by Redskin standards, this was nuts. What did you make of it all from afar?
Well, I mean, you don't have to be afar to make of anything of the Redskins. You know, the dysfunction lies starting at the top. And then it goes down one layer to a guy called the president. And after that, it's complete disorganization. I mean, do you wonder why they're not competitive? Like, no team's worried about the Redskins. Like, seriously, no team ever thinks they're a threat to ever winning a title or ever making a playoff run. I mean, it's comical, right? When Parcells used to say this all the time, when the season starts, 15 teams don't even have a chance. They're one of the 15 that have no chance. So I spend no time thinking about them because nothing they do makes sense. When you're in an illogical world like those two guys are, illogic doesn't prevail.
Are they going to be able to get a qualified head coach, do you think?
They'll get a yes man. They'll get somebody to come in there. They'll promote somebody. I mean, you know, they're afraid they're going to lose a bright young coach, so they'll promote poor Kevin O'Connell, who can't say no to it. It'll be his first job, you know, and then when it starts to hit the fan and he has no help, those two will take over and start running the team. They should just name the president the coach. Give him a whistle and tell him to go coach the team. I mean, that's the only solution that I see.
At M. Lombardi, NFL. Must follow if you care about football info. Michael Lombardi's our guest here. All Grant and Danny. The person I feel bad for in all this, Michael, is Dwayne Haskins. Now, listen, he's a big boy. It's the NFL. It's not a fair league by any stretch of the imagination, but he's kind of caught in the crossfire here. It sounds like a bunch of people didn't want him in that building, and the guys that did, you've just, adequately laid out sort of their state of the union here, talking about Dan and Bruce. He's just trying to be good, and it doesn't seem like he's got a chance in Washington.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he's trying to be good. That's the problem.
Well,
I think he's had no role models to help him be good. I'm going to acquit the kid for lackluster performance, for lackluster effort, for feeling entitled. I'm going to forgive him for that because he's really never seen anybody have to work for it. It reminds me of when we ran sprints down at Richmond, and RG3 looked around and said, "Man, they're like a Catholic League school team, you know." And then he jogged off the field, you know. And so,
but just to clarify, because I think people are going, "What do you mean? You were with the Patriots at the time, and Griffin, I think, was commenting on the Patriots, right?"
Yeah, he was commenting on the Patriots. He's like, "They're like a Catholic League school team, you know." I mean, and he just jogged right in, like, you know, like, no, that's what a real professional football team looks like, Robert. That's what they look like, right? You know, they run sprints, they condition, they worry about pad level in November. They worry about being physically and mentally tough. They run the hills. That's what they do. So I'm not sure Haskins has ever had any mentorship to understand, hey, look, you think you're working hard? You're not even scratched the surface that you're working hard. Do you have any idea how hard it is to win in this National Football League and what you have to do to prepare for? If you just showed Dwayne Haskins what Tom Brady does at the line of scrimmage, the amount of checks he makes, the amount of calls he makes, the responsibility of the game on his shoulders that he bears the burden for, it would blow his gasket. It would blow his brains. He couldn't handle it. And so for me to blame the kid yet, when he doesn't really understand what he's in for, as Uncle Junior once said in The Sopranos, he's so far out of the race, he actually thinks he's in the lead. And I think that's the issue.
That's a great line. I don't remember that line from Uncle Junior. Michael
Lombardi.
It was in
the doctor's office.
Okay.
You know, and you can go back. I don't know which episode. It's one of my favorite Uncle. And there's a lot of Uncle Junior lines you could quote. I mean, there are. There are a ton of them.
Some for the radio and some for not, for sure.
Well, you could make it G-rated for the radio. And his wisdom, there really should be a wisdom book, and mostly for coaches, too. But that line there is truly what most coaches, that so far out of the race, they actually think they're in the lead.
Because that's when they had to use the doctor's office so he and Tony could meet, right? Because he was under
house
arrest.
That's right. They did it all the time in the doctor's office.
Right, sure. Right.
They kicked whatever his face out of there, and they went in there.
You can see why we like Lombardi.
Cozy.
He's our kind of guy.
He
watches The Sopranos. He knows all about Bruce Allen's act. He's our kind of guy. He fits in well on this show. Michael Lombardi.
I'm a Jersey guy.
What's that?
I'm a Jersey guy, you know. I mean, that show really, the Wire, actually, to be honest with you, when I was in the National Football League, the Wire educated me more than any show on television in doing my job. It really did.
Wow.
It allowed me to understand as a white male coming from a small beach town in New Jersey to understand the African-American culture of the inner city kid and what they go through and how they have to deal with that fine line of whether they're going to go on one side of the law or the other, and how we judge it so easily and how we don't understand the plight. It's a powerful show. And when you're evaluating mostly African-American kids from the inner city, you better know what they're going through before you can start judging them.
Michael Lombardi on Grant and Danny regularly with us throughout the season. We get them on every several weeks. Hey, one last thing here on the Skins before we move on. It sounds to me like you're going to say my idea is crazy, and I want you to if you think it's nuts. But if I pick in the top two this coming year, I have fallen completely in love with Joe Burrow. I think the world of that guy. I think that's what it looks like. I think he's special. I might draft him even after taking Haskins this year. It makes it seem, though, like you would say don't draft a quarterback because no matter who you draft, they can't succeed here.
No, they can't. But, you know, the one thing you got to do is the right thing, right? Even though it's complete dysfunction, you still have to behave like a normal person. And Joe Burrow is the best player in the country. I mean, Joe Burrow was the best player on the field last week. Joe Burrow has done things that are remarkable. And unfortunately for Joe Burrow, he got tagged at Ohio State as he wasn't quite highly recruited enough. Actually, Dwayne Haskins' career intertwines with Joe Burrow because Urban Meyer spent so much time recruiting Dwayne Haskins, he didn't really feel like Burrow was a great player. He's a three-star, wasn't really highly recruited. And even though he was All-State in basketball in Ohio, Mr. Ohio, and they offered him a scholarship, they weren't in love with him. They actually made him go through a live drill at Ohio State. He was one of the few quarterbacks that got touched at Ohio State. So when he transferred, they didn't think they lost it. They gave the job to Haskins. He's better than Haskins. There's no doubt about that. He was the best player on that field. He's the reason they won for LSU. He won with his mind, he won with his feet, and he won with his arm.
So you would consider, if you're the Redskins at two and you've got a pick, taking him there?
I don't think he'll be there at two.
Okay.
I think they'll get Chase Young at two. I think whoever has two is going to get Chase Young. Whoever has one is going to get Burrow.
Let's go around the rest of the league here while we got you, Michael, quickly. Give me a team that's out of the playoff picture looking in that you like, and then give me a team that you think right now is in that might be in trouble.
Well, you know, that really starts in the NFC. I mean, when you look at the NFC, there's the teams right now that are in it that are in trouble, you know, because there's so many teams jockeying for jobs in the NFC, right? So they're, you know, right now Minnesota's the sixth seed, but are they really in it? I think Dallas is struggling. I think Philly's the team that's coming on, that's starting to play a little bit better. Can they beat New England? I don't know if they can this week, but they have a fairly easy schedule down the stretch, and then they get to play Dallas. Dallas has Detroit. I just don't trust Dallas to do all the right things, so I would say they're a team that I'm worried about. Over in the AFC, you know, the Raiders right now are the sixth seed as they move into this. Indianapolis has been very disappointing, and Buffalo, to me, is a team that's slipping. Buffalo's a team the Redskins fans know well. I mean, if the Redskins could throw the football in that game, they might have beaten Buffalo. Buffalo can't throw the ball effectively. They can't make plays down the field. And Josh Allen hasn't been able to take a giant step. He's a good athlete. He's not a great quarterback. And their passing game in Buffalo suffers because of it.
Michael, always love having you on, man. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
all right,
buddy.
Be well. There's Michael Lombardi, the fastest hang-up in the business.
Too quick for Dar.
Don't even bother trying to say thanks, Dar. He is long gone. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. Listen to Michael Lombardi on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on Radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Grant and Danny, our Redskins prediction. We'll get on out of here with a preview of the weekend next on The Fan. Grant and Danny on this Football Friday. Before we get out of here, some predictions for you. Look ahead to the weekend presented by the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Our buddy Eric Nathan.
And I'm
hey.
Not Nate Ewell.
Nope.
You know him as Barstool Nate. He's hanging out with us in studio. Danny, your favorite NFL game this weekend is what?
Ooh, I'm going to look.
You get to watch one. Rest of the time, you're doing your leaf raking or whatever it is you people do in D.C.
Whatever it is you folks do.
I don't know how it works in the big city. What's the one game you're watching?
New England and Philadelphia is the one seed. I need to know if Philadelphia is going to climb back into this thing, upset New England, or if they're just going to end up with what right now would be a 500 record at the hands of what I think is the best team in the NFL.
I'll go Texans at Ravens, 6-3, 7-2. Two MVP candidates in that game. Lamar Jackson looking for another signature win against a quality team and a good defense. albeit a defense that's probably waned a little bit last few weeks now without J.J. Watt. Game you like the most this weekend?
You got to keep your eyes on the Bengals game there because we want that number one overall pick, and that is a winnable game for them.
You think they could beat the Raiders?
I know everybody loves Gruden this year and loves the Raiders. Derek Carr stinks. So
he's playing well, though.
It's a winnable game.
I'm not telling you he's good, but he's playing much better. Those are some of the games. And also the Vikings have a chance. They're 10-point favorites, I think. I saw
Vikings,
10 and a
Broncos,
hook
yeah.
in that game against Denver at home. They have a chance to get to 8-3, a win from them, and they'll close the gap with Green Bay, who's idle. That's a team that's starting to – I know you said they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't know if I'll go that far, but they're starting to roll right now.
Dallas-Detroit, big one also for similar reasons as we're talking about. Detroit, not that bad. Dallas needs that win. Look at the NFC playoff picture.
Stafford's out again.
That's right. Another game without Matt Stafford, it sounds like.
He has been ruled out already.
Yes, Patricia ruled him out this morning, I think.
That's ridiculous.
Then you add, and I just had it right here and I lost it. Obviously, this is great radio. Jacksonville Colts. It's not, you know, that sexy. Obviously, the Colts are just middling. Jacksonville's out of it looking in. Colts need it after their terrible loss this past weekend.
You know my default on the AFC South. The next AFC South game I enjoy will be the first.
You'd do away with it if you could, the whole division.
I'd love to get rid of it, have those four rosters divvied up to the other 28 teams. I don't know why. The everyone in that division I just find boring.
Even Houston is boring to you?
Houston's good. Maybe they can stay because of Deshaun Watson.
I love Deshaun Watson.
I do, too. He's maybe, other than Mahomes, probably my favorite player to watch in football. A lot of people are saying Jackson's in that conversation, which I get. But Deshaun Watson is must-see TV.
I love him so much.
And I'm more of a pocket passer, like make big throws from the pocket guy. He could do that. Yeah. And that's kind of what he's majors in that, and he minors in making plays with his feet. So I would trade a lot for that guy tomorrow.
If I could do away with Tennessee, and if it cost me the Colts, I would.
I'd get rid of both of them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I could get rid of Tennessee and just
First team I'd get rid of is the Titans. Second team is the Colts. Then the Jaguars. And then the Texans. Because of Deshaun Watson.
You get rid of the Colts before you got rid of the Jaguars?
Easily.
The London Jaguars?
I dig the Jags a little bit.
I like the Colts program. I've always kind of had this affinity. Now, I'm not John Paul Flame that just loves the Colts. But I don't hate them the way that you do.
I think you like Chris Ballard more than you like the Colts if we really got into it.
I'm a Ballard guy. I'm a Frank Reich guy.
Take or leave.
Back in the day, like, you can give me some Steve Entman, some Quentin Coriat. I'm into the Colts.
As Thom just said in my ear, Izzy. I'm sure you love Frank Reich.
I'm a Frank Reich guy.
Since when?
Nobody's ever said that.
All the time. Maryland guy. My dad likes him. Right, I liked him.
My dad likes him. Take or leave Frank Reich. Completely
You're
going to
leave Frank Reich?
Jag. Skins Jets. That's really what the people want to talk
Aikman
about.
Last night comparing Otto Graham to Tom Brady was a magnificent take out of him.
I loved it. He goes, I know that a lot of people think Tom Brady is the greatest ever, but you can't forget Otto Graham
was 6 foot tall, 135 pounds, and he was playing against plumbers. I don't put him in the equation with Tom Brady.
I think that's probably fair. Skins Jets, what are we expecting on Sunday? Round the horn we go.
The Washington Redskins will break their foul, evil streak of darkness of 13 straight quarters without a touchdown. They will get one touchdown this weekend and lose 20-13 to the New York Football Jets. But they will score a touchdown in the second quarter of this game. The 14-quarter streak will end with a touchdown in the second quarter.
We need a new rock bottom. We're looking for it. This is it. This is the new rock bottom.
This is the one.
Empty stadium, losing to the 2-7 Jets, who they, every time we do something stupid, they try to come over the top and do something even dumber. And so this is just the battle of the two worst football organizations.
So you're picking the Jets?
And I think we have to stay king. We have to keep our crown as the dumbest, worst organization in the NFL. As bad as the Jets want it. You saw that stuff yesterday with the player who can barely walk and they're fining him.
Quincy Enunwa.
Yeah, he can barely walk and they're fining him for not showing up. I think the Redskins lose. I want great things out of Geis and out of Haskins, but, you know,
you guys are both taking the underdog Jets.
Yes.
Tommy, hit the music, buddy. 20-17. The Washington Redskins scored two touchdowns.
Wow, we cover two?
And you cover.
Wow.
Dwayne Haskins throws for a 153 and one. Adrian Peterson rushes for a touchdown. He and Darius Geis combined for 114 yards on 89 Bill Callahan forced carries.
He's so bad of a coach.
The Redskins win. They beat the Jets. All right, let's talk Haskins for a second. I'll be filling this blank. I'll be happy if Haskins
throws a touchdown pass, has two big plays in the
wow,
game.
Wow, your bar is lowered it's, so yeah. much.
It is a low bar.
You should have heard week one, Danny, about Dwayne Haskins. Where are you at on this?
I'm in the same boat. They're not going to make him do anything. We have nobody to throw downfield to. Paul Richardson was out today.
You're forgetting Terry McLaurin.
And then, yeah.
He's a big silly.
Yeah, no, I know, but I think he's still injured. There's no check down tight end. We have to keep Smallwood active to play special teams, so he'll be in the mix somehow. It's going to be a disaster. 150 and a touchdown sounds very promising to me.
Just a couple nice plays.
I will be happy if he doesn't look lost and completely overmatched by Greg Williams. My concern, I don't think this will happen, but I think there's a small chance, even because though the Jets have no defensive personnel in the back end other than Jamal Adams, it's just a sieve. Look at what Daniel Jones did last week. He looked like Tom Brady. My minimal concern is that Greg Williams sees a rookie quarterback, licks his lips, styles a bunch of stuff up, and Dwayne Haskins
is confused. Put your blank in the A gap, and he comes get comes right. to get you. Yeah.
Put your in the C gap. What was the thing that he ate all the time that someone like sent him a box of? Remember that? On Hard Knocks?
Oh, it's going to kill
Was
me.
It like a cough lozenge or something?
Was it a cough drop?
I don't remember what it was.
A Ludens?
What was the word we learned today that was the big thing to go out with? Oh, bumping. Bumping. When you wear clothes, you bump it. Have you ever heard that?
With the drip? Yeah.
With the,
what?
He's even going with the next step. That's big. At Barstool Nate on Twitter. Not Nate Ewalt, but Eric Nathan.
Shout out to Nate Ewalt.
Thank you for stopping through. And if your name is Nate Ewalt, please tweet me because I need to know who that is. I still don't know who that is. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Enjoy your weekend. Maybe the Redskins will win. They play the worst team they're going to play the rest of the year. Maybe they get a win.
I hope they do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.